Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. All Sleep Number smart beds offer temperature solutions for your best sleep. And now, get early access to Memorial Day deals. Save 30% on our most popular smart bed, i8. Limited time. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1229. This is your host, Danny Pena. And yes, I'm live here in Los Angeles, and a lot of people already heard the news about G4, the network, got shut down. Actually, a couple hours after I finished recording the podcast, that's when I heard the news. I read it online to a tweet, Wario64. Insane. But I just want to say to everybody, look, I'm going to be okay. It's just been a very difficult week for not only me, but everybody that used to work at the network at G4. And honestly, I had a great time working over there, doing a lot of cool projects. And I was in the process of working a couple more before the end of the year. And it was one of my favorite jobs I ever had. So thanks to the whole X-Play team, Michael Leffler, Megan, Emily, Jake, Joe, who else? Noah, Jefferson, Abby. There was so many people, man. So many people. The Black Okage, Adam Sessler, Frost, Gerard, everybody. Sorry if I missed anyone. Sorry, I've been all over the place the past couple of days. But I just want to say everybody that's part of the X-Play team, every single person that came in, even if it's like just a temporary job. Gabrielle, shout out to her too. She's amazing too. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to be part of this team. It was an amazing experience. And we're going to be good. Everybody's going to be okay. It's just been rough, you know, because hearing the news out of nowhere like that. While we were working on stuff at the studio, it's just sad, but we gotta move on, and things are gonna be okay. Now for me, I just want to say thanks to everybody that's been reaching out to me and hitting me up, just checking on me to see if I'm okay, and I appreciate that so much. This is my fourth time getting laid off. So I experienced this. I think the first time was extremely hard for me because I felt like it was like my fault, you know, but being that this is my fourth, I get it. It's all good. You know, I'm going to be okay. Plus, shout out to Paris and also Peter, Pete, for hitting me up, just checking on me to see if I was doing good and everything. And so what I did, I wanted to record something very special. I got together with two of the producers of X-Play and also another producer that she was part of the esports team and also worked on Arena, the WWE/G4 show. So I have Emily, Jake, and Shauna. We went out to eat, actually, downtown Burbank. We were at a restaurant, and I'm like, hey, let's record. Let's just talk. We're having a good time. We're drinking. Let's talk about our journey. How was it? Us getting the job. Lots of behind-the-scenes stories. We also talked about the challenges for us, and we got very, very emotional parts of the podcast. You're going to hear it. And it was more of a celebration of everything that we've done and achieved while working and part of the X-Play team and everything. So listen to it. Let me know your thoughts. I know we're probably going to have a lot of people from the community of G4 that's going to listen to GTR for the first time. Enjoy this. It's a great and special podcast. I'm working on other stuff because I feel like it's not the final goodbye from us. So I'm working on a couple things with friends from the industry. I'm just gonna leave it at that because everybody wants us to get together again. So I'll keep you posted if any changes comes up in the future, but just be on the lookout. Just follow me on Twitter. Once it's official, I'll let you know. All right. So before I play the episode, the full roundtable discussion, everybody head over right now to gamertagradio.com. Listen to our past episodes. Make sure to share the content to your friends, family members, everybody. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. All you have to do is just search for Gamer Tag Radio. Follow us, subscribe, even post your review. It will help me and the team to go on top of the charts, and it will also help us to get discovered. So it's all depending on you. So if you would like to be part of our fan mail discussion, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we're back here and we're going to play the roundtable discussion about X-Play. Check it out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, everyone. So we're live here in Los Angeles and new episode of Gamertag Radio. And we're going to celebrate X-Play. X-Play, I have the producers from the show. We'd like to introduce first.
Oh, sure. Hi, my name is Emily Rose Jacobson. I was a creative. I hate saying the word was. The first time I've ever said that out loud. I was a creative producer for X-Play.
I'm Jake Bennett, disgraced former creative producer for X-Play.
No, welcome, welcome. This has been a very tough week for a lot of people. Ever since we heard the news that the network shutting down. It was really, really tough for us, and we're the exclusive online Twitter. Wario64 posted the news.
Yeah, thanks for the heads up, Wario. Yeah, we appreciate
it. Yeah, we were trying to say that as a surprise, you know, but yeah, it got leaked. It got leaked early. No, man, messing around. So yeah, we're gonna be talking about behind the scenes stories about X-Play, stuff that we're working on, and stuff that unreleased content that we have never released. I don't know if we ever gonna get her or not, but we're gonna talk about that too. So let's start with Emily, because Emily was the one that started X-Play with the original crew, was with Megan and Leffler. I think Vanessa was also part of it during that time too.
Yes, so I was brought on in June of 2021 during the Beach House days. Mm-hmm. That was when they brought on four producers. It was myself, Vanessa, Ian, and B-Comp. So we were all kind of, everyone kind of was like all hands deck for those first couple Beach House streams. And then in about, I would say July, towards the end of July, they wanted to start breaking up the teams. And immediately Leffler and Megan were like, well, Emily's 100% X-Play. And I found that was honestly like the biggest honor of my life, was like being the main producer for X-Play. Vanessa split between Attack of the Show and X-Play, and then B Company and were in charge of Attack of the Show. So we were kind of trying things out. That's where News Speedrun was first born. That was during the Beach House days. That was a pitch of mine that I just like, because I love covering news. It's been in my blood. Mm-hmm. And so that was just a really experimental time. I think a lot of people have a lot of feelings about it. I love the Beach House because there was no pressure on us yet. So we were getting to try things. We got goofy. We got weird. And then when we moved into the building, that's when we started expanding the team. And Danny, you were the first, one of the first people to come on.
October 25th.
Yeah. Oh.
First day. Never going to forget.
I know. So close.
I have a story how this whole thing went down for me.
Okay.
So October 2020, I was still living in New York City. And I got an email from Blair Herder. He was, during that time, he was one of the people that also launched the network, one of the executives. And he actually interviewed me And that day, when that day, I only slept for like 2 hours because we were working on a project with this company, 368 New York City, and we surprised a health coworker. He was the first person in the world to get to play the Xbox Series X because I got it. Yep. I got it really early.
That's cool.
Yeah. So we did that. So we were editing all night and released it that day. Slept for 2 hours, and then I did my interview with Blair. And I did the interview. He loved it. And I heard back like almost a year later, and it was Michael Leffler that hit me up. And we did two interviews. The first one, Megan was there. And I told him, yeah, I get games review codes early all the time. I gave an example, Deathloop. I got it like over a month and a half.
So funny story about that. Megan told me, she's like, we're interviewing this guy, Danny, to be our editorial lead.
Yeah.
You would not imagine. Because like, we got Deathloop like 2 days before its launch.
From PlayStation?
Yes.
Okay. Ooh, geez. We're at a restaurant, by the way. No, go for it. Go for it. Yeah, no, go for it. No, you're good. You're good.
Oh, I love that it's on a log.
Okay.
Ooh.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to describe this. It is a beautiful cheese board on top of this beautiful slice of a log.
I can edit this
There's
part.
Edible flowers.
Well, you were saying?
Oh, yeah. So, funny story. When you were being interviewed, because we had gotten Deathloop like 2 days before the game release. And so Megan was reviewing that one, and she had to put in like 100% overtime to review Deathloop.
Yeah.
And when you were being brought up, when you were being interviewed, Megan was like, oh, we're interviewing this guy, Rihanna, I think it's like who's Rihanna's dating, or had y'all been engaged at that point?
We were not engaged yet. We were still
You were still dating.
Dating.
She's like, Rihanna knows him. He had access to Deathloop a month before it came out. And I was like, what? Like, so we're like, we got to get him. He's got the goods. Yeah. And then you also turned out to be an incredible individual in person and just such a cheerleader for the team. I do want to talk about my first week real quick.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
My first week was wild because I was brought on the same week the talent went through their boot camp. So every night was an event. It was like karaoke in K-Town this night. We're going to go bowling this night.
I went to the karaoke.
You did? I didn't go to karaoke because I was so exhausted. But like, that's when they were doing the sour challenge and all the talent threw up. If you want to hear all about that, I think Gina's talked about it extensively on her Twitch pages. Oh, yeah. The sour challenge ruined people's stomachs. The acidity of the sourness ruined people's stomachs. And it was so rough. But yeah, my final night, my Friday night, we went to Wurstkirch in LA, and then we went to they rented out Ready Player One, which is a big barcade or just kind of an arcade. And I was just like, I did an escape room with Austin Creed. We were sitting around talking about Sonic the Hedgehog and just drinking, and I was like, this is the best job ever. And then we went to I think 82 is it called, like the pinball bar in the Arts District. I forget what it's called. There's a pinball arcade bar in the Arts District. We walked over there. I'm talking to Leffler the whole time. We did tequila shots with our executive producer, and I was like, this is the best. This is my first, like, this is the first week on the job. This is the best job ever. Is this what television is like? I'm so excited.
That's awesome. Now, how was your, how you got the job, and how was your first week working?
All right, so I had a show on another gloriously failed network called Geek and Sundry. I hosted a show on there called Asinine Wisdom, and my producer on the show went on to be a line producer for Geek and for G4, and don't start a digital entertainment network. It starts with a G. Just don't do it. anyway, he had gotten in touch with me about a year prior to everything starting, so. He got in touch with me around Thanksgiving of 2020. He was like, hey, I'm working for something. I can't really tell you what it is yet, but I think you'd be good for it. Can you send me your resume? Sure thing, man. And I don't hear anything for like a year. I don't even know what it's for. I don't know anything. So I'm actually working two jobs at the time, and I suddenly get an email from someone named Megan Lutz at G4 TV, and I was like, what the hell is this? And she was like, we got your resume. I'd like to interview you for a job as a creative producer. And I was like, is this real? Because my other concern at the time, you know, I had these other two jobs. I was actually able to do them both from home.
Yeah.
And I was concerned, ironically, about the longevity of the work. And I was like, is it like around? She's like, yeah, it's going to be like a full-time thing. Went through the interview process, had to write a little sample, and then waited. I think that was about, Tuesdays when I, it was a Tuesday when I sent my writing sample. And then on Friday, I just sent a little email like, hey, I don't know if you need me to send anything else. Please let me know. I'm happy to do it. And she's like, yeah, I'm so sorry. I'll hopefully let you know something more on Monday. I said, okay, that's great. Mm-hmm. And 15 minutes later, she emailed back and said, okay, things are moving pretty fast, but we'd like to hire you. And I was like, oh,
yeah, that's
awesome.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yes. Like even the crowd.
Sorry, Emily need to catch up.
Very excited about you.
Yeah, very excited.
Very excited.
So anyway, yeah, my first week was strange. I get in there and sit next to this guy who tells me his legal last name is Zipper. Mm. And I'm like, all right, this is interesting. Emily and I realize about 3 days into working with each other that we have met before but did not realize it.
That's
and we both were on a segment that she wrote for Geek & Sundry.
Wow, small world.
Yeah. And that was crazy because I was like, oh my God, that's exactly who you are. It was mind blowing. So anyway, and my first week was just kind of like trying to figure out like, oh man, what am I doing here? What's my role gonna be? Because I was told we're really leaning heavily into comedy.
Yeah.
And that's my world. Like, I've always enjoyed video games. I love playing video games, but I would think of myself more as a comedian who plays video games and not so much as like a gamer who's funny. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I remember my first little bit there, I was like, I am so out of my league. I felt so...
I didn't get that vibe from you at all.
I felt imposter syndrome bad because I was like...
You mask it so well.
Well, I had to because I was afraid I was going to lose my job.
So what was like your first project that they were like, we want you to do this? Or was it you like, hey, I could...
No, the
this.
First thing they gave me was they were like, can you do a research piece about the metaverse? And I was like, okay, sure. And... they were like, write it up to me. I think it was a Tuesday. It was, and Megan said, you know, can you have this written to me? Can you write this? You know, do a research piece about it. And I said, sure. When you need it, she said, can you get it to me by, you know, a week from today? And I said, sure. And yeah. And the next day, I said, here's the first draft. I was like, here's the first draft. What do you think? And she was like, oh, okay. And that was the first piece that I worked on, and that was the first thing. It was weird having Adam Sessler read stuff that I wrote.
Oh man, like I was just on the phone with him the other day. We were just he wanted to check in, and I was telling him because my first thing I ever did was they were like, I sat down on my first day. They said, "Great, you need to produce a video like by the end of the week," and I was like, "Okay," like I hit the ground running as we all did. So mine was with Gay Gaming Crows because it was for Pride Month. So it was with the GGP. So we had this wonderful guest, Emma, on.
I remember that.
Emma May Lee. Mm-hmm. And Sessler. And we talked about, like, queer games. And he was a huge fan of Gone Home. Gone Home's one of his favorite games, so it was really fun to produce that. But the first piece I got to, like, really write was... because Leffler and Megan, they were like, what games do you like? I was like, well, I love Fallout. And then Megan, at that point, was like, it looks like the SEO is very high on Fallout. So I went up to Megan and Leffler and I said, I've been playing Fallout 76 throughout the pandemic and I think it's gotten pretty good. Can I write a video about it? Mm-hmm. And they said, oh, we don't know about that, but okay. And so why Fallout 76 is good was the first video I really had like full creative control on. And I remember directing Sessler and I was just like shaking because I was at that point, 28-year-old woman directing Adam Sessler, who I remember watching on my TV with my wisdom teeth pulled out in high school. So I was just like, I have no right to be your producer, but man, oh man, this job, I am very thankful that this job showed me that I can be a producer and that I am a producer. And so I'm very, very thankful for G4 for a number of things, but especially for X-Play, like I grew as a person here and I will never, never forget that.
Yeah. Most definitely. I think the the first thing that I wrote that I felt like, okay, maybe I can do this, mm-hmm. was a retro review for Spider-Man.
Ooh, okay.
That was the first thing that I wrote that I was like, okay, maybe I can do this, because it was a game that I loved that actually brought me to tears at the end of it. And I remember talking with Sessler about it, getting his thoughts, and of course his thoughts mirrored my own, and really went and started playing the game and to like get reacquainted with it and everything. Mm-hmm. And then writing that review, I was like, okay, maybe I can do this. I think that was the first one that I really felt like comfortable doing.
I was going to ask a question, but you go.
No,
ahead.
I just want to say one quick thing, Jake. You are the funniest person on the team.
Oh, hell yes.
Like, 100%. You 100% did not deserve to have imposter syndrome, because everyone on Team X-Play had different specialties. We were like Power Rangers. Like, we had to form the Zoid. Or is that what it's called? I've had a glass. Megazoid. We all had to form a piece. We had to have the arms and the legs and the chest and the head. And we didn't have repetitions of either piece. And everyone had their strengths. And my God, your greatest strength is your comedy. Everyone sent you scripts to punch up. And you always had the funniest jokes to pitch. So, like, please, like, never, ever feel anything other
than that. Both of you are very, very talented. But you, Jake, you're hilarious. On camera, so funny.
I appreciate
especially when you did the. There's two videos that stood out to me. One of the Saints Row that we did that together.
Yeah, Saints Row was fun.
And Ninja Turtles. That was wild. But
I took You remember I made a binder that had all my information on it that said.
That was real. It was not fake. It was real, the binder.
Oh, yeah. Made. Yeah. Yeah. I had a binder. It was like 50 pages yes. of all my research on all the. I took that binder today when I went and got my stuff.
Good.
The binder that says every fucking Ninja Turtles game on it.
You know, I want to mention this because a lot of people don't know this, and there's probably YouTubers that they're thinking like, man, why they need a team to work review a game together? And as a producer, why is it important for multiple people to work on that game? Like, usually when I request games from companies, I go 2, 3, sometimes even 5, depending what it is. Because I want us to have all of us to be on the same page, and we can have different opinions on the good and the bad, and even the funny about the game.
I think that was the biggest thing, is being able to be like, and there were a few games that I did this with where I'd either be like, can someone else play this game and tell me it's as bad as I think it is?
Yeah. Like, it was, Crossfire X was the worst one for
you. Was the worst one I played, and it wasn't even close. And I was like, and I remember going to TBH and being like, this game sucks, right? It's not just me. He's like, no, it's bad. But, like, that was why, because we would all want to be sure we were on the same page, because it was, and of course, the person who got most of the say was the host, because they're the ones putting their name on whatever we, you know, and the host would play it. We would all discuss it.
We would all decide as a group the rating, 1 through 5.
Mm-hmm.
I think the ones that got 5s, it wasn't that many. I know The Quarry got a 5.
Spider-Man got a 5 if we're counting
retro. Spider-Man got a 5. Was there any other game that got
Inscription?
Five? Inscription.
Inscription easily got a 5 out of 5. One of the best. And it's tough because I so badly, while I was there, mm-hmm. wanted to highlight indie games. I know Gerard did too. And it just was tough because, for the most part, we saw from the YouTube analytics, our audience wanted to see much more AAA titles. And so fighting for indie games was a big thing. Mm-hmm. All of us did. And so I remember playing Inscription and being like, this turns the card playing game, the roguelike genre, on its head. And 100% it does. I think it won GDC Game of the Year as well.
I think it got nominated too for the Game of the Year.
Yes, and it's a phenomenal game. Play it if you haven't already. I believe it's just come to the PS5 or the PlayStations. But yeah, it just was, like Jake said, it took a village to review a game, because we were a network. We weren't just I think that was the thing, because people saw our stuff on YouTube and were like, well, they're just YouTubers. No, we were a network. We put stuff on television. And also, too, a bunch of YouTubers have teams as well. Like, that's the secret. A lot of YouTubers have teams of editors, of other teams of writers, and it takes, like, this to make content at the speed that a lot of people do, like we did.
Yeah.
It takes a village. And so that was my favorite thing, was making a doc and talking with, like, TBH, Frosk, and Gerard, and Adam about, like, what were your thoughts on this game? What did you feel like? Da-da-da-da-da. And I always just loved that so much. And yeah, like, I will never forget having, okay, the worst games to review, hands down, are multiplayers, because you have to get people together to play and review them. Uh-huh. We played back, we had to schedule who was playing Back for Blood over the weekends because we had to get the ending.
I played with
and
John,
so we were like pushing through Back for Blood. We did like 12-hour days on like a Saturday or something, or at least I did, just trying to get through this campaign to get to that final story. So because like all of us at X-Play were so adamant about getting to the end of the game before giving it a score, because that's the only fair way to do it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Back for Blood, I loved it, but like, man, it's a marathon. Reviewing games is a marathon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Saints Row, classic case of play a full game before you grade it.
We suffered that one. Dude. It was very stressful playing that. Because there were some missions that, because of bugs, the mission just stopped and I couldn't really keep on playing the mission at all. So I had to like restart the mission or restart certain parts of the game.
Yeah, but then it became a weird after-school special, like, storyline.
Yeah, it just got weird.
Yeah,
it got really,
real
really
weird.
Like, towards the end, I felt like I just didn't want to play anymore.
I was the same way.
Because I got so frustrated, not only with the story, but just the bugs.
Because someone asked me, they were like, what do you think about it? And they were like, what's it about? And I was like, the power of friendship? Like, I don't know what they – I don't know. It was a very strange.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean – and it was fun, too, like – the Quarry review, well, the process of playing that was one of the most fun times I had, because several of us went over to Frosk's and just played it and watched. And we were all screaming at each other to, no, don't open the door. Yes, open the door. Yes, grab this. Don't do that. You know, and getting in arguments and, you know.
Theories
of like, okay, wait, is it this? Is it that? Is it, you know. And
but see, that's
that was,
that's
it was
best.
So much. And that's exactly why it got a 5. Because I think because of that experience. I mean, not to say that it wouldn't have if we'd all played it separately, but the fact that, you know, of how we all felt, the experience of it, I think is really a lot of what led to it being a 5. But
yeah.
But that was one of the most fun times I ever had reviewing a game, was playing that.
I have a question for everyone. I'm taking the reins of Gamertag Radio, Danny.
It's been a coup. What's the question?
What is everyone's favorite project they've worked on?
I'll tell you one for me.
Mm-hmm.
Def Jam.
Oh, yeah.
Def Jam. And there's a reason why it was so important to me. First of all, I'm a huge hip-hop junkie. Like, I love old school hip-hop and everything. Number two, I love Def Jam games, minus the last one. But I felt like it was important for me, Joe, and the Black Okage to work on this project together.
Yep.
Okay, we wanted to highlight people of color.
Yes.
That was like very, very important. And I didn't want to do it like, oh, let's release it in February. No, like, no, we're going to release that after.
Release it whenever the hell.
Whenever. Yeah, not during the month of Black History Month, you know. So we worked on that project originally, and nobody knows about this publicly, but originally I was going to have a bunch of rappers that were in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to Slick Rick's manager. I was trying to get Redman. I was trying to get, I think, Method Man or somebody from Wu-Tang. I can't remember exactly. David Banner was the one that was like the quickest to get. We did that interview remotely. And I remember he was having a conversation with Black Okage, with Corey.
Right.
And there was something they were talking about, like their path and, you know, growing up, because he used to be homeless.
Right.
And not Corey, but David Banner.
Right.
Corey got so emotional. You'll see him in tears. If you watch the video, you see him like crying during the interview, because it really touched him, like the conversation. And it felt that's when I'm like, I watched it live. And I said to myself, yo, I did my job. That was like the moment where I feel like
that's what matters. That's what's important in this industry.
Not the clicks.
No.
Not the controversy. Not the reviews. But like projects like that.
The real stories. The personal connection.
Yes.
The fact that, man, I love Team X-Play because we were all so different, and that's what made us so strong. Like, hands down.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm not gonna lie. Like, I got frustrated, you know, seeing the negative news and anything that happened with us. Like, I felt there was not everybody, but there was people that didn't want us to succeed. You know,
exactly.
But when I got to see a lot of the negative news, that made me a stronger person for me and for my team to do and create dope. And I feel like we achieved that.
Yeah.
No matter what happened now with, like, you know, the network shutting down and everything. But
this is something I've learned in doing the Mass Effect Adventum podcast and doing X-Play.
Yeah.
The projects that you care the most about and that you put yourself into because it inspires you and it makes you who you are the ones that succeed, just like Def Jam. Like, the projects where we put our entire heart into it and was like, this is Jake, this is Emily, this is Danny, this is Joe, this is Abby, this is Gabrielle, this is Gerard, this is Frost, this is everyone, like Zipper. Those are the ones that really soared because you could feel the personal connection to them, and that's why, like, Def Jam was just such a phenomenal piece. Shout out to Joe, shout out to TBH, and of course, shout out to you, Janny.
Yeah, and shout out to Joe for releasing the last video of X-Play. It was
Joe killed the network. Yeah,
it was so good. He killed the network.
Please watch The Weeknd and Metal Gear Solid if you have not already, because I was messaging him about this, and I know he was worried because he was like, well, all the trolls are now going to attack my video. But I said, what a video to go out on, because the message, I'm going to spoil his video, but please go watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
The message at the end of the video is, oh, I'm going to get teary. You don't have to be the next this. You don't have to be the best this. All you have to do is be the best you. And like, man, oh man, like, if anything, what a great message for X-Play to go out on. I don't even know what our next video was supposed to be after that.
I think it was the Ghostbusters review, wasn't it? That I was working on.
Can we talk about the Ghostbusters?
Yeah, so let's do it.
We were working on this major, major project with Aphonic.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Didn't get to answer favorite project.
Oh, what's your favorite project?
Man,
we can talk about Ghostbusters in a few minutes.
That's so tough because, like, there were a lot of different things that I got to do that I was really proud of.
I tell you which one that I like from you.
Okay,
the Madden RPG, genius.
I was
genius.
That was probably the one I was going to pick because I think that's the video where I was like, okay, I belong here. That was the one where I felt like I was like, this one is me. This one is I'm putting a lot of myself into this. It means a lot to me because it was, this might come as a shock to everyone, it was difficult to get anything sports related on X-Play.
Understandably. Let's talk about that. Okay. Because people might not know why, but go ahead.
I mean, the going theory was that there wasn't a lot of crossover between our audience and sports fans, which I understood. And I get that, and that's fine. But my counter argument was always that games like FIFA, games like Madden, games like MLB The Show, they sell in the top 5 or 10 every year. Every year.
Yeah.
And that I wanted, I wanted to give them a voice because, like, you know, a ton of my friends are hardcore gamers who also love sports and play sports games and, you know, I just wanted to do something for them too because that's a lot of the stuff that I grew up on. I actually didn't get into RPGs and stuff like that until I was older because, you know, it was easy to sell my parents on, I want to get Madden. I want to get NCAA football. They understood those games, you know, or Sonic, you know, like little games like that or whatever. So it wasn't until I got older that I started discovering those kinds of, you know, games like RPGs.
Yeah,
I appreciate
Jake.
It. Thank you.
They're applauding you.
And there's dozens of us. But I probably Madden, but there were so many other things. I think the Madden video was probably my favorite that I did because I put a lot of myself into it. It was the first time that I got to be on camera really presenting a video, which I couldn't believe either. because I kind of like sheepishly was like, I know these games and I'm passionate about them. Can I tell? And they're like, yeah, absolutely. And I credit Leffler and Megan for letting me do that because, you know, his thing was if you can find a way to bridge the gap between sports fans and what we think our typical fans are, then I'll let you make the video. And
you found a solution.
And I said, and I said, football games are just RPGs. And he was like, well, now, wait, what? And when I explained it to him, the perspective, he was like, okay, yeah, go make that. So I think that probably was, but there was so much stuff that I loved doing. Like, I loved getting to play characters on the live show, whether it was Dr. Bitsko or Mater or Reggie Bedell. Yeah, the commissioner, Reggie.
Yeah, everybody boo.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I loved doing stuff like that. I loved making the Corey video. I loved doing the Ninja Turtles one, despite everybody in the Discord was constantly hounding me with Ninja Turtles stuff because it was difficult because I was like, this is 50-something games, man. How am I supposed to do? And it was it was a struggle. But
the good thing is about that, Jake, and look, I love all the other sites and their YouTube videos and everything, Twitch streamers or everything. But I love that our stuff was so different.
Yes.
Nobody else was doing that. Like, I can't even think of any other YouTube that covered every single Ninja Turtles game.
Exactly.
Or do a video like Madden. It's like an RPG. I've never seen that before. And that's the thing that I feel like we found a formula that our audience love that type of content every time we release it. Because there was a time we were releasing Monday through Friday content.
We were doing two streams a week. Never forget.
Plus five odds every week for months. It was like that.
So I know you want to talk about Ghostbusters. Yeah. I'll go through mine 4 real quick.
Go ahead.
Fallout 76 already talked about why they keep re-releasing Skyrim. This was a joke I pitched to Leffler, and he said, we're going to make it our launch special. And I said, what? And I got to co-write with my executive producer this entire dumb in the most loving way, this very, very goofy mockumentary video. Got to play in it. We got to have Will Neff. We bought a $350 wheel of cheese for that video and a cabbage because I was like, he's got to have a wheel of cheese and a cabbage. It's Skyrim. And so that was such a love fest because you spoke with Blair earlier. Blair knows Todd Howard and actually
people don't know this.
So yeah, Blair came over to me one day and he said, everyone in Bethesda, including Todd, loves the video. And I just got shook to my core because Bethesda, Obsidian, and BioWare are my three big babies. I love those games. And so I was like, oh my gosh. And then later on, like the next day, he comes to my desk and Danny was sitting right next to me. And he goes, Emily, there's somebody I want you to talk to. And I'm like, okay.
Video.
I turn around and Blair has a video call on and it's Todd Howard. And so I'm getting to video call with Todd Howard. And he's like, hey, Emily, it's wonderful to meet you. I just want to tell you how much I love the video. How's X play? And it was the best acting job of my life. College theater degree paid off. I talked to him. Yeah. It was such a fun, fantastic conversation. I was getting to talk to Todd Howard.
And then she was a puddle for the rest of the day.
Yep. As soon as that phone call ended, I melted. I could not cry in front of Todd Howard, but I did afterwards because it was just such proof that what we were doing was special, and the people around us thought what we were doing is special. And just having Blair didn't need to do that, but he did, and that meant the world to me. So it was that video. Cyberpunk 1 year later, crazy good video. That was a video where I really kind of like did my best journalism work, and I loved it to pieces. We did like a super fun, goofy 77-second recap of Cyberpunk, or like the release, and then just dove into, because no one had done that yet. No one had put the pieces together of everything that had happened that year, and so we were kind of the first on the scene. And then my last one was the Reggie Fils-Aimé interview. That was such an honor to help produce. I mean, remember when Danny, you told us like we're gonna get Reggie, and I was just like, once again, shook to my core. Like to have interacted with Todd and to have interacted with Reggie, I'm so thankful for the experience. And yeah, it just was. I got to meet Reggie at the Game Awards, and he came up. We were talking, and he's like, "So how is X-Play?" And I was like, in my head, I'm like, "Oh my goodness. Reggie Fils-Aimé is asking me about my job. And, like, that was so surreal. Yeah. But thank you, Danny. I mean, a lot of these opportunities were allotted thanks to you.
Yeah. Go ahead. I was going to say something.
Well, I was just kind of thinking another one that I really enjoyed was our video We Deserve Better Basketball Games.
Oh,
that
my
I did
God. That's an iconic
video. With Joe
video.
And the Black Hokage.
Oh, yes.
Which, let me say, I loved working with those two guys so much. And same. When we got to do, like, the one-hit wonder game, the one-game wonder videos with Professor Choke and that kind of stuff, and anytime I got to work with them, I was always having fun. I was having fun with everybody, but it was really fun doing that one. And I'm bummed we didn't get to do a follow up on it because I think 2K gave us a better basketball game this year.
Oh yeah, yeah,
Joe and I were working on a review of the new NBA 2K.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, but I really enjoyed that one. That was a lot of fun to do, too. But I could sit here and talk about the videos all day. They were a blast to do.
You know what? Before we go to the projects that we were working on, I want to say thank you to every company that I contacted.
Oh, yeah.
And here's the thing. Every company that I contacted, none of them asked me for money. None of them asked me for, like, viewership numbers.
Right. That's so great.
It was more about the trust because I've been working with them for a very long time. And I just told them about X-Play, G4, and they were like, let's do it. Some of the projects that we were working on, which, oh, man, it just hurts right now.
Heartbreaking.
For me.
Yeah.
I was planning to have Sonic Team to come to the studio. They were going to come from Japan. We were working on.
Y'all don't understand, like, the level in which this Sonic special was going to be.
God.
The creator of Sonic Battle Adventure, possibly the father of Shadow the Hedgehog, some would say, was going to come to our studio in person to do an interview building up to the release of Sonic Frontiers.
Oh, my God.
Like, we were so stoked.
I contacted a bunch of companies because there was a lot of big games coming out this year. We were talking with Activision for Call of Duty. I was talking to the team that worked on Callisto Protocol. I also was talking to the people that have been, the developers are working on High in Life. Because mm-hmm. My pitch was, let's get Justin Roiland to come to the studio and we'll do a special. Maybe we could even invite fans so they could be at our gaming lounge and they could play the game and then meet Justin and we could create content. Because, look, if anybody has seen the studio.
You just put a great value on.
Thank you. If anybody's seen the studio, when you go in, this is an area where people could sit. And I was going to have the developers on front to have like a – that's okay.
Raven's trying to kill me.
It's okay. I'll edit.
I threw the microphone at your way so you could hear that.
Originally, because I was pitching this to every single company. I even talked to Obsidian for Grounded. The pitch was, if there's a way we could have the fans come to the studio from all these games, the community, come, they get to play the game, but they also watch a presentation or us interviewing the developers, and they'll be sitting down. They could also ask questions. Like, I wanted to do a major launch special for all these games, and especially Starfield and all these other games that was
Danny.
Coming out last year, next year. But it was so frustrating. Like, you know, I was even talking to a couple celebs that are working on movies and TV series that was coming out next year, or stuff that they work on this year. They were also going to come to the studio. I don't want to mention the names, but we had bangers, big names.
We had just broken down how everyone was going to review all the games. I was in the middle of reviewing new Tales from the Borderlands, which I mean, it'll be out after this podcast is out. I love it to pieces. It is a phenomenal game.
Is it scheduled? I thought you meant it comes out tomorrow. I thought you mean the video.
No. Okay. But no, we had everything scheduled out. We had all these specials. We had a holiday special. We had the Ghostbusters special, which is probably the greatest crime on this planet. I got to interview Enon Zur, and I got to interview the Grounded team. And so that was actually like my on-camera interview debut. And I'm absolutely heartbroken. Enon Zur is a fantastic, fantastic gentleman, the composer of all of the Fallout games from Bethesda. So, and Tactics. And so Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas, Fallout 4, Fallout 76. And
Starfield.
Starfield!
Well, so this was the thing that I was doing, and you probably didn't even notice the team. So every time I had a guest or somebody coming to the studio that I know, one of you guys, either a huge fan of that developer or person, I always wanted to. It's okay. I'll edit. It's fine. I always wanted to have certain people to interview them because I know the interview was going to feel like special. So, like, for example, while I was working on getting Reggie, because that day I was at a conference. Mm-hmm. I did a sit down with him, fireside chat, keynote, fireside chat with him. And it was a great moment for us, right?
It's Gamespeed, right?
Gamespeed.
Yep.
Gamespeed Summit. But for X-Play, I was like, I know who is the person that needs to interview Reggie. I said to myself, and I even mentioned this to Michael Leffler and Megan, I want Golden Boy mm-hmm. to interview him. And the reason is they both grew up in the Bronx in New York City. So it was like perfect, that connection, you know, talk about the struggle, talk about gaming and everything. And
you can see that in that interview.
So when I heard about the composer, I mentioned to Megan, and I was like, Megan, I want Emily to interview him, the composer, because I know how much these games mean to her. So I'm like, I need to make that happen. And you did a phenomenal job.
Thank
with
you.
It, I have pictures. We
have pictures. We're trying to get footage, but there's a possibility we could get footage.
Fingers crossed.
But I will never forget after that interview, Enon Zur turned to me and said, thank you for one of the best interviews I've ever had. I really felt like you were listening to me. You were so personable. You were so very good at this and gave me a hug. And take a shot every time Emily tears up on this podcast. You're at two right now. Yeah, just hearing that, I think game devs are rock stars. I think everybody who works in the game industry is a rock star because they make the things that bring me so much joy. And so getting to talk with a man who has composed themes that I love dearly. I mean, that opening theme song, that opening screen of Fallout New Vegas is so iconic. I think that is the best. We say it in our Fallout Brotherhood of Steel video, which will be my last installment. I love that my bookends on X-Play were Fallout 76 and Fallout Brotherhood of Steel. Let me talk about the two difficult games of Fallout's history. Thank you, X-Play.
Yeah.
But yeah, we say it in that video. His rendition of the Fallout theme in New Vegas is the best there is. And just getting to talk with him was such a joy. Thank you again, Danny. But yeah, like, Jake, anything you were working on?
Well, my last video was the first impressions of Modern Warfare 2.
Oh, which, with Joe,
with
right?
With Joe. Yeah. Joe and I had some fun stuff that we were going to do for that because we were going to be the main presenters of the review for Modern Warfare 2. And we had a lot of fun ideas, stuff we wanted to do. One of the things that we wanted to do was have a war at G4 on Modern Warfare 2 between he and I to see who gets the X-Play Undisputed World Championship belt.
Damn.
But I guess it's just mine forever now. So, suck it, Joe. But anyway,
yeah.
Joe Girardo, I guess I should clarify. I was working on that. The game I was playing to review next as all this happened was Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed. So I was working on that. Like I said, I was very excited about Modern Warfare 2. There were several games. We actually had I remember one day, Leffler had all the games written on the board.
For the whole year.
For the rest of the year that was coming out. We were calling it Review of Palooza. And it was me, Emily, and Joe. And we had a draft. You get to draft what game you wanted to review.
I remember being in that meeting.
Yeah.
And I was like, We had games like, okay, we're going to review these games and release it on embargo.
Yeah.
And there was some that was going to come out later because our team was, it was so much.
Overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Also, we were only releasing three videos a week. So some of these games were like all coming out on top of each other. Like this weekend, October 21st, huge weekend of game. Mario Rabbids. I think Plague is coming out. Gotham Knights as well.
And Modern Warfare campaign.
Yep. Ghostbusters just came out. New Tales from the Borderlands. Huge amount of games, and we were specifically on a 3 videos a week schedule to kind of help build repetition and familiarity. That was where we were. So, Pentiment. I remember seeing one of the last Asana tasks I saw was Pentiment with Adam Sessler. We were both so excited for that game because we're both big history nerds. We were going to review it, but it wasn't going to be until January because of how crazy the guest schedule was. But speaking of Ghostbusters, man, oh man, we had this whole Ghostbusters special lined up where we pre-recorded a big chunk of it. It basically was like if X-Play was a part of the first Ghostbusters film. Michael Loeffler did a fantastic job with the script. Excuse me. We punched it up with our own personalities. But yeah, Jake, you and I were we were the leads in that. Alongside Gerard.
We have some clips.
The clips might be coming soon.
We might release it. Be on the lookout for that. But
like from my phone, I have like a clip of Loeffler falling into a cake.
Yeah. So go ahead.
Oh yeah, I also forgot I recorded Loeffler into a cake. The Ghostbuster special, it was going to be a mix of pre-recorded bits and live segments. And the whole premise was G4 had purchased an arcade cabinet that had a portal to hell in it. And Emily and I had to stop it. Because everyone thought we were crazy except for Kasim, who everyone thinks is crazy. So, I just mean in general, not in the storyline. No, I love that dude. I love Kasim. It was so fun. I got in there Monday, and we were shooting this the last week. Of course, none of us knew that it was the last week.
That week, we had live show, kickback. We're reviewing games. I had Telemundo that came to the studio again for their morning show. We also had casting, and you guys were filming Ghostbusters.
Dude, we were there. Yeah, we were there seven. Yeah, we had 3 12-hour shoot days. The last week, Monday, we were there at 7:30.
Yeah,
and we were there until 7:30 at minimum. The next day, we had to be there at 6 a.m.
Oh my God! Why so early? Why 6?
Well, a lot of it was scheduling conflicts with certain talent that we had to use, and we had to, you know, because Tuesday we have 2 live shows. We have 3 if you count the feedback.
Yeah, because feedback.
So we had feedback. We had vibe check, and then we had kickback. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it was scheduling, and we were there. I don't think I got home until 9 p.m. Tuesday. And then Wednesday, we have another kickback stream. You know, we're also, at the same time, I'm working on a review. Emily's working on a review. Joe's working on a review. And then Friday, another 12-hour day of shooting. And it was a lot. On what turned out to be our last week.
Yeah. I'll never forget. I went into the VO booth late after. It was like we wrapped shooting at 8 o'clock. I went to the VO booth to record because I was doing the X-Play linear intros VO. So I was, today on X-Play, it's game time. That was me for a while there. And so I recorded the VOs for the next 3 episodes. So I recorded the VO for the next 3 episodes, and it was about 8:30. And I saw you two. You were still there. Shauna was still there. Shauna's here at the table with us. She's been a part of this the whole time. And Jake was sitting at his desk. And I just remember walking out and being like, "See you on Monday. Have a good weekend." And just because we were doing so much that I could not fathom this happening to us in this way this fast.
Where were you guys when you heard the news, when you saw the tweet?
Jake, you go first.
Wario 64 exclusive.
Well, please. I'll tell you the course of events for me. I'll go through it quickly.
Okay.
I got a text message from a panicked Emily Rose Jacobson.
Okay.
That was, I cannot get on Slack. And my first thought was, Emily, why the hell are you trying to get on Slack on a Sunday?
So,
anyway, I was like, I don't know. Let me see. Well, mine didn't work either. Shauna's didn't work.
Yeah.
And then we found out, oh, wait, we don't have access to Google Docs. And when
that was a mix because I had access on my phone. What?
This is Shauna. Shauna, say hi.
Hi.
That's Shauna. Tell everybody what you do.
I was the production coordinator, which really meant that I was supervising producer, project management, Yay. Whatever else you want to call me, producer of G4 Esports Arena,
yes.
Which is my pride and joy and took everything out of me, and our G4 Game Day LCS, which was incredible. And I had a blast experience, and thanks for letting me join you guys here.
Yeah. So, Sean and I are together. Sorry. Sorry,
well, congratulations.
Everybody. Thank you. Yeah.
Pre-G4.
Yeah.
I was like, wow.
So, like Danny said, congratulations, Sean.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I just feel like because I'm a woman, I have to explain that we got our jobs via the same contact, but through different parts of our lives. The line producer I had worked with for the last decade, and he was mostly my second AD on film crews, and he would bring me to anything and everything that he was able to. And so he was working on getting us both in from different parts of his life, which I always took solace in because I didn't get the job because of him. I was asked to be there of my own accord. So,
no, but I want to say this before you take the mic. Yeah. It was a blessing working with you and the team from the arena team. I remember you guys hit me up like, Danny, can you help us? Like, we need games. And I said, let's do it. I don't mind. Like, I'm a team player. I wanted the network to succeed. It wasn't.
So did I.
It wasn't like a competition thing or anything like that. So Trey would hit me up. Brian would hit me up. You. And it was an honor for me. Like, when I got to see the first few episodes, I'm like, that was me. I was part of this too, man. The games, you know. Because what I will usually do, people don't know this, is I'll contact publishers for them to give us a license, like, for us to air their games on cable, linear. Like, digital will be fine. Like, we could do this. But it was very complicated when it comes to linear.
Yep.
So I had to contact every person just for one game, multiple people for just one game, and we made it happen. We got all 12 games, 12 episodes for the whole season of Arena, and it was an honor for me to be part of that project. So I just want to say that.
We appreciate you because of your hard work, and having those contacts were amazing. We were hoping to show more and more of the gameplay because we were getting a little bit more of the leniency. So we thank you.
But at least we did it. We did it. Right?
I'm proud of the episodes that went up, and I hope you are too.
And watch it. Please watch it.
Please
right now.
Please watch. Yes, it's G4's Arena, but it is partnered with WWE, and it was my blood, sweat, and tears, as well as my entire team's blood, sweat, and tears. And that show is so much fun.
It was wild. I never watched it live. I always wanted to watch it live. I didn't have time, but yeah.
It was an experience. It was such a blast.
I'll tell you one thing that happened. I watch wrestling.
Yeah.
I've always been a huge fan of Becky Lynch.
I got to meet the man.
Yeah.
I held it in, but I got to meet the man.
Let me tell you.
And Bayley. And
I was walking. And I love Bayley. I always wanted to meet Bayley.
Oh, yeah? Bayley.
Always. And Sasha Banks. Those are the three, like.
Yep.
So I'm walking, and I used to, every time I pass by, I say hi to the makeup artist, Felicity. She's always there.
Oh, Felicity is wonderful.
That's the homie. She's super cool.
Yeah.
So I was walking by, and I'm like, hey, Felicity. Oh, my God, Becky Lynch. I'm a huge fan. Like, I usually don't get nervous with people. I got really nervous with Becky Lynch. And she's like, oh, thank you so much.
She was
much.
The sweetest, though.
Sweetest. I was like, that's it. I did my part. Yeah. So I went to my desk. Jake was there. Joe was there. I'm like, that's it. I should just not work anymore. Like, I made my day. I met Becky Lynch, and that's it. Was done. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It was awesome. It was really, really awesome. So,
and meeting the full of, so my, the three things that got me into wrestling per Jake was Becky Lynch as the man,
mm-hmm.
The Fiend, who is Bray Wyatt, Bray who's now back.
Yeah.
We don't know if he's the Fiend, but you know. and then New Day.
New Day.
And working with Xavier Woods was a dream come true. Getting to meet Kofi and Big E was such a beautiful experience. They are such incredibly positive people. They, like, that is no lie. And they were just so comforting and welcoming and so easy to work with.
Yeah, Xavier Woods or Austin Creed.
I mean, they all were.
Yeah, they were all amazing. But yeah. working with him, with Austin Creed, was amazing. This guy, he was like a team player. Doesn't matter what was it you were doing at the at the company. Nope. He will sit down and talk to you. I remember my first day that I started working, he was there. And he gave me a hug like, yo, I'm proud that you're here, man, working here, man.
Dude, there are like, what? There are so few people who are both aware of who they are and the effect they have on people and also make you feel so completely comfortable. And Austin Creed is one of those people. It just feels natural to be around him and interact with him. He's genuine 100% of the time. He's an incredible dude, and very he deserves everything he's gotten and
very,
then some.
Very, yeah, very professional.
He's fantastic.
And I would love, like, we would stream in a kickback room. He would just show up.
Just jump in.
Like, whoa, Austin, what's up? You know,
The fact that he even just remembered my name, like, was humbling to me, you know?
Yeah.
So what you're saying is you would give Austin Creed a 5 out of 5.
Yeah, 5 out of 5. Yes, yes.
Absolutely.
All right,
absolutely.
So
back to something happier. The day that we closed.
Very happy in that moment.
Yeah, as soon as we lost access to our Google Docs and our Google Drive, I was like, ooh, we might have just gone to DEF CON 2 on being shut down. And that was accurate.
I was hopeful. And I was like, nah, it can't be that.
Well, I honestly thought that the whole Slack thing being shut down was because somebody forgot to pay the damn bill, which was easily as plausible as the network was going under, yeah. I feel.
Yeah.
But yeah, we lost access to Google Docs, and then someone texted me or sent it somewhere, the Wario 64 tweet.
Oh, no.
And I was like, what now? And then a few minutes later, it was the Deadline article. And then when I saw the Deadline article, because I was like, I mean, no disrespect to Wario, but he was just tweeting that PS5s were available at Best Buy. So I don't know, like, how, you know, I don't know how reliable that news source is, but I guess he's got all the cred now.
Yeah,
But then when Deadline, I was like, oh. And then when 15 minutes after we read about it on Deadline, we get the memo. That was something.
What were
that,
you?
That was the hardest part. Well, so Lena actually texted me, beautiful, fantastic producer over on Attack of the Show. Lena messaged me at about 11 a.m. saying, hey, are you experiencing any issues on Slack? And I'm like, huh.
Boy, was that early?
That early.
Because I thought it was like
that
late
early.
Afternoon. Okay.
No. And so I'm trying to get on Slack, and Slack's not letting me on. I'm suddenly logged out. And when I tried to insert my email because you get on Slack, you can insert your email, and it will find the Slacks associated with that email. I got an email back saying there's no Slack associated with your email. So there was no Slack associated with the G4 email. And I'm like, uh-oh. Hopefully Slack is just down.
Huh.
And then I'm watching the Discord while I am also trying to pack to fly home for my grandfather's funeral. Fun fact, my grandmother passed away during the first round of layoffs, and my grandfather decided to pass 25 days later. And so it's his funeral, so I'm trying to pack up and head down to LAX. And literally, like, in the 5 minutes I'm trying to get out the door, that's when we had a personal Discord for a lot of employees. And that's when I saw in the Discord someone says, I don't have access to my Google Drive anymore. And in my head, I just start going, no, 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 no. Because I had 6 pages of a fantastic Mass Effect 3 reflective we were going to do for N7 Day, Adam Sessler and I. And all of a sudden, it was non-existent. I have a screenshot on my phone. It's the most sad photo in my entire life of my Fallout folder. I wrote about 3 different Fallout videos. I had drafts for other ones, and it was completely empty. And that broke me. That broke me. So I'm driving all the way to LAX, to calling my mom. She's like, well, you can't worry about it until it's done. And I'm like, okay. And I'm trying to get on. I get through security, get on the plane. I'm sitting on the plane. I pay for the Wi-Fi. Always pay for your Wi-Fi on a plane. I'm also going to tell you a fun fact about planes after this. And then at about 3 o'clock, that's when I see in our Discord the Deadline article link. And I look at the Deadline article, and I'm just like, that's it. That's the nail in the coffin. It's official. Because, yeah, they had a memo in there that we had not received yet, which I thought was the most heartbreaking thing. And so I started sobbing uncontrollably on a United flight. Just thankfully, the dude next to me was asleep, and I was on the edge. And so I'm crying to myself, just trying to hide it. I've got sunglasses on and a mask on, so I'm like, hopefully this isn't too bad. The stewardess notices, and she comes over, and she's like, oh my gosh, is everything okay? And I look up at her, and I go, I just lost my job. And she looks at me, and she goes, well, I'm so, so sorry. But I get a sense that this isn't the end for you. You always know something will be coming next. And I was like, oh my gosh, thank you. And then she's like, would you like some wine? And I said, yes. And so I drank 3 glasses of wine and 2 yes. shots of whiskey on the flight.
Thank you.
What she didn't tell you was that was the good thing that was coming.
Yeah, so fun fact, if you cry really hard on a United flight and tell them you lost your job, they will probably give you free alcohol. And so I'm texting my parents as they're picking me up at the Houston airport. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm so drunk. I don't even know how to get out of this airport. How to get out of Bush and stuff. And so yeah. I was there thankful to be with my parents. My parents were very thankful to be at home. But like, and then I went to a funeral the next day. And that next morning, my eyes were already so swollen and sore from crying so hard, because it was just, it was one of those things where it's like, I think I quoted a Green Day, where it's like, it's something unpredictable, and just in the end you'll find, I hope you have the time of your life. Like, this was the most unpredictable. No one could have seen this coming.
I was ready to go back to work Monday for the next thing I was going to work
on. We had a postmortem on Monday, and we had to shoot more Ghostbusters on Monday, or Tuesday when I was back.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was sending in notes, and I was stressed out before I left on my flight because my OBS wasn't recording sound, and I was like, oh, shit, I'm not recording sound for the new Tales from the Borderlands review. Got to fix that when I get home.
Yeah.
No.
So I'll tell you what happened to me, how I found out. So I was watching the Miami Dolphins play. They got destroyed. I decided to go to sleep. Because I usually don't check Slack on weekends. Like unless it's like big news or an emergency, I just go on. I'm like, hey, crew, this was going on. So that day, I was very excited to go to work the next day because I was working on my projects. I was like, I mentioned this to my wife. Hey, I'm going to take a nap. So I take a nap for like maybe 30 minutes. I open my eyes, and I was watching Red Zone. I remember they were showing like different scores, everything, right, of all the games. And I looked at my wife, and she was looking at me. She's like, you should check Discord. I'm like,
oh, no.
Why do you want me to check Discord? Like, just check it. So I go there, and I see everybody. Because we have a group of friends from work. Private Discord channel. They were just talking everything there. And they were like, Slack, Google Drive, not working. What the hell's going on? People were just asking questions. And I'm like, what's happening? So then something was I usually check Twitter all the time just for news or whatever. So I go to Twitter.
Well, that's the place to get it, as
yeah,
it turns out.
It looks like. I mean, I did find out the death of Michael Jackson on Twitter before anywhere else. So I go on Twitter, and the first tweet I got to see was Wario 64. Wario 64. And I'm like, wait, what? And people are tagging me. So then I decided to go.
Oh, the Gerard comment underneath it was the worst one.
The worst one.
Where it's like, haha, I just found out I don't have a job anymore from this tweet.
Neat. Yeah. So
neat.
Then I go to Discord, and one of our colleagues also posted there. She was like, look at this article from Deadline. And I'm like, I felt shocked, but I wasn't like emotional at that moment for the whole day of Sunday.
Yeah.
When I woke up the next day, that's when it really hit me. Mondays, every day I have a schedule. I wake up 6:30, 7, get my coffee, watch my news, or listen to music. I'm like, all right, I'm ready to go to the studio. So I usually leave early. So I get there sometime like 8:30 in the morning, talk to everybody that's there, say good morning, you know, whatever's happening that week, I'll tell them, hey, this person is coming. But that day I realized I was going back to the studio. And, oh, man, I broke down. I couldn't sleep for 3 days. I couldn't eat well for 3 days. And thanks to my wife, like, she was there the whole time just taking care of me, making sure that I was okay. And it wasn't about the studio. Like, I love the studio. Yeah, it looks pretty. Award-winning studio. I get it. It's all good. But it was the people.
100%.
It was the people more than anything. And I felt like us, we worked our ass off, did a lot of cool projects. We love our jobs. And hearing that everything just went away just like that, Daniel style, was the part that hurt me the most. I'm like,
It still feels surreal when you say it. It still doesn't feel real. And like, I know new G4 wasn't for everyone. Just like all media. New Star Wars isn't for anyone. New Star Trek isn't for everyone. But that doesn't take away from the fact that every single person put their blood, sweat, tears, weeknights, weekends, weekdays, overtime into making this stuff. And we cared about it so much. And just special thank you to everyone who watched it, who's reached out to us, who loved it. Our Discord, oh my gosh, within hours the Discord turned into thank you note Discord, which was I have a lot of those screenshotted because it really, really meant a lot. Like, it G4, we were in an uphill battle because we weren't just any other startup, we were a legacy startup. So the cards were not stacked in our favor, but gosh darn it, because we were a legacy, everyone had even more higher stake. Like, the stakes were even higher for everybody involved, because for the most part, everyone who was on part of that team remembered G4, was impacted by G4, was influenced by G4, who they are, grew up because of G4, like 110%. So just thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah, honestly, it was one of the best communities I've seen. Every time we'll go live, they'll make these memes so quick that I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm impressed. Like, wow. Like, wow, very impressed.
Like, someone has reposted the meme of Mater at January 6th.
No.
Yeah.
Because I just posted the,
yeah. That. And it's, oh, and there's you next to me. So that's great.
Apparently was that my fake Disney Dreamlight Valley character. So Disney Dreamlight Valley was apparently a January 6th, yeah, according to the chief.
That is wild. That was made by the community. Wow. Yeah. Honestly, like, I just want to say this, like, working over there was the highlight of my career. I've been around for a very long time. I never felt this way.
Yeah.
Oof. Try not to cry.
No, it's okay.
Try not to cry.
This company was far more a family, as cliche as that seems. That's the part that's the worst, is we don't get to see our family every single day.
That's the part I'm going to miss the most.
Yep.
You know, like, I will get there early. I always would see Megan first coming in. Then I'll see Emily. Joe would always come in with his Xbox Series S carrying it.
And you carry, and Jake would carry in his Xbox.
Jake would come in and start talking smack to Joe. Like, even when Corey was there, like, Corey, Frost, Gerard,
Noah, Gabrielle, Noah, Abby, Jefferson.
Even when Austin would show up, Adam would show up, like, the first thing he would do was sit down and making sure that we're okay every single time they'll come, man. Usually at companies, people just sit down, do their jobs, and that's it. It was different with this job, man. And we cared. We cared so much, man. And that's the problem I miss the most.
Even as not on-screen talent? Like, your team was incredible. I mean, obviously, I had an in with Jake, but you guys were so close. My team was pretty close to begin with. My arena team was very close, and we were amazing. And it sounds so cliche, but it is the most true I've ever had. It's the most stressful, most overwhelming job, but it is the happiest I have ever been.
Oh, yeah. The fact that, like, I know we've said this earlier, and I'll say it again. The fact that we could go to Leffler, our executive, one of our executive producers, Leffler and Megan were both our executive producers, but the fact that we could go to Leffler and say, can I make a video about this? Or he would know us. He would know us to the point where he came up to me and said, Emily, I want you to do a video about N7 Day, and I want you to do a video about Dragon Age Day, DA4. So that's December 4th. And having your boss know what you loved and knew what you could talk about was so huge. And like he knew that we were to the two biggest Ghostbusters nerds. So he immediately, when he was writing the Ghostbusters script, he's like, Emily, Jake, you're the leads in it. And that script was such, just like, I was watching Ghostbusters on the plane home because it was available, and it was just like this bittersweet thing, because as I was watching it, I was like, man, he took every little detail of the beats of this film and wrote it into the script. Leffler's a fantastic writer. We piloted like the Secret Histories together, and just like, yeah, just the support. We would get him off topic about Avatar and James Cameron, and we would just sit there and laugh, or we'd go out and get empanadas, or we'd come back, or we'd sit in meetings, and we just all talk about games, or we'd make jokes, or table cake, or there were so many things that, like, 100%, like, this job was, X-Play was a family, and I'm so, 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 so thankful for that. And yeah, exactly, that's the thing I'm going to miss the most. It's like, not seeing my incredible team every day and getting to create things that made us happy together and just being together. Like, I miss everyone already so, so much.
I want to say that. Oh, well, you want to say anything else?
No, you go ahead.
I've been very emotional for the past few days. It was important for me to go to the studio to say my final goodbye and pick up my stuff, by the way. Because nobody's taking my stuff. Hell no. So I went inside with my wife, and I got to see, like, I missed the Rogers. I got to say that.
Oh,
the coolest
man.
Peeps. So they were part of the COVID team. We would always get tested. But they were like, to me, they were like our cheerleaders.
Yes.
They cared about
Yo,
us.
Yes. Let's do it. Go ahead. Like, every time I had a visitor,
oh,
they would get so excited. Really? How many? Like, they were
and
always cheering us.
I know we haven't talked about God of War, just because I think we had just been come off of the God of War high.
Yeah.
We premiered God of War at the studio for those who worked on it, and they were there, and they were yelling for every single credit in the beginning, and they were laughing, they were cheering people on, they're coming around giving us hugs.
Yeah.
Like, man, oh, man.
You know what I have to say this about one of the Rogers? I went to the restroom, and they were there, like, one of them were right next to me, and he was wearing, this was actually a Friday, was it Friday, no, Thursday, that was the last Attack of the Show was Thursday, right? So I go to the restroom, he was there, he had the Attack of the Show hat, I think, on, and he goes, hey, Danny, they said I'm part of the crew, man, I'm part of the Attack of the Show crew. On Thursday, told me that, man.
Man, yeah. Rogers, the Rogers were great. Great guys. Yeah, and like you said, they were. They were just like our cheerleaders. It'd be the same thing, you know. Like,
oh,
I,
man.
You know, you'd get stuff in, or they'd be like, "Dude, I saw your video," and you know, like, they didn't do that. They just said to stick a swab up my nose. But they were watching our stuff, and they cared about us, and it was great.
They're a huge Dodgers fan. They never gave me shit for being an Astros fan, and I respect them majorly for that. They even said the Space City jersey was very cool.
Yeah. But yeah, so like I was saying, I went to the studio. First thing I did, went to pick up my stuff. I went to the kickback room, and I sat down, took a picture, and I was just soaking everything in, just looking everything from the floor to the TV to the controllers, to even the paper that was just on the floor. I was just soaking everything in because it was going to be my last time seeing it. And I felt okay. I felt fine. When I got up and I went to the X-Play set, before I got there, I mentioned to Ree, I'm like, record me. That's when it hit me.
Yeah.
It hit me hard because I knew I was never going to see this again.
Yeah.
And I just said, I'm going to miss my team. That was the thing I was mentioning the whole time in the video. Like, I was going to miss my team.
Mm-hmm.
And I got out, packed everything in. I said goodbye to everybody that was there, the team that was handling the studio. And I walked out, and that's it. I took a lot of pictures. And actually, shout out to Gina, one of the talent that was there. We bumped into each other.
Yeah.
And she was... I told her, you want to come with me to the set together? She goes, let's do it. And I also recorded that video. And I took her to the X-Play, not X-Play, to the Attack of the Show set. And she did the introduction of the show. And she just broke down.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful that I worked with you guys. Very thankful.
Yeah. So am I. It was... It was the best job I've ever had.
Yes.
It's not even close.
Hands down.
I don't think I've ever in my life said the phrase, I get to go to work today.
Yeah.
Until I worked for G4. And
Yeah.
What an experience.
What a ride.
It was unbelievable.
What a ride. I will never forget this ever in my life, man. So I just want to say thank you for letting me be part of your lives and
thank you, Danny.
I'm happy that was part of it. We made some cool stuff. I don't care what anybody mm-hmm. says. Like, I'm proud of the stuff that we worked on. And shout out to the community
mm-hmm.
that was supportive, sharing it, commenting it, being the first to create memes and like, I was always curious, like, what else are they gonna come up with, man? You know, and again, thank you to Leffler and Megan to, like, just give me the opportunity. Blair heard about me, and he gave me the opportunity to be part of the team. I'll never forget that.
On that, something I didn't mention earlier. So this wasn't a job that I had applied for. This was a job that sought me out.
Yeah.
I had originally been contacted. I don't know who. This just goes, hey, lesson for everyone out there. You never know who your next job is going to come from. You never know who's going to recommend you for your next job. Biggest lesson I learned here.
Yeah.
Someone recommended me to audition to be a host. Someone recommended me to audition for a host for G4 in August of 2020. Don't know who. And so that... It was the biggest joy of my life. Holy cow, it was an hour-long interview. I got to just talk. I talked about how I created an Oregon Trail live-action improv show and did a fake sign-off of what I would do, and I had a lightsaber in it. Didn't hear from anything. I'd also been denied from two video game jobs that year, too. So I was in such a low point in December 2020, feeling like I keep being pushed towards this industry, yet I am hitting a wall. What is happening? And then in May of 2021, I got... an email and a call from Andrew Zilch and Megan Lutz. And it was, come build G4 with us. And I remember pacing in my kitchen, just being so shocked and honored and like thinking, who am I to be anyone of importance that could make this happen?
You're Emily fucking Rose Jacobson.
Yes.
That's who you are.
That's who you are.
And don't ever ask that question again.
Most talented.
And that's what
that I know.
And that's what that job taught me. I learned
fucking badass is who you are.
And that's what this job taught me. And so it just was such an honor to be invited from the get-go. And it hurts so much because I love the people here. And just like everyone here, I put
a piece of my heart and my soul into everything I did because I believed in it so much and I loved it so much and I loved the people I was working for and I made content for them and I made content for me. And that's what you have to do in this life. The only thing you can do is make stuff that makes you happy, and that's how you will be the happiest in this life. Do not care what anybody online says about you. Just make things that make you happy, and you will be happy.
You know, one thing I will say, my only regret, because I was so used to like, well, I'm going to be there Monday, I'll be there next day, whatever. We never took a picture together.
We never had a group photo.
There's two moments that was like the closest.
Mm-hmm.
God of Work, we got to watch God of Work in advance. And the second one was Danny Trejo and Reggie.
That's
actually,
right.
One of the two. I think it was one of the two.
You get a combination from the two of those, yeah.
One of the two. The team were there, but not the full team. Yeah, and yeah. And that was the part that I regret the most.
Same.
Yeah. Anything else?
That's it. I mean, just thank you, Danny, for bringing us on. And thank you so much for being such a strong heart in this team and for advocating for us and just standing by X-Play no matter what was thrown our way. I will always respect that of you. A lot of people, like we said, didn't really want G4 to continue, and you have been in this industry for so long, you did not care what other people would say about us. You were our biggest advocate internally. You're our biggest advocate externally. And I will always be forever thankful for that because you need big cheerleaders in this industry like this. And my life is better because of everyone at this table and because of everyone at X-Play. So thank you.
Thank you. Jake?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I should say something witty or... I don't know what to say. I feel like I've said so much already to the people that mean so much to me privately. I don't think I got to say thank you to all the people who kept us going as long as we did. All the fans, all the strangers who have said incredibly nice things to me on Twitter or on social media or who were in our chat. Who knew me by name and were excited to see me, who left nice comments on the YouTube videos. I saw them. Mm-hmm. We all did. And
thank you. It really, really meant a lot.
Yes, it meant a lot. That's not how I find my gratification. Usually I'm kind of, if I'm proud of something, I'm proud of something, and I could give a damn what anyone else says about it.
Yeah.
But it was nice to see other people appreciate what we did. And it was truly a team effort. Everyone worked their ass off to make something special and to make something that people would enjoy. And if there were more of that in this industry, I think it would be a better place.
Definitely.
Do what you're passionate about. Find good people, gravitate towards them, and don't let them go. And, you know, my dad always used to like to say, tough times don't last, tough people do. And I think we're going to last for quite some time.
Ready for the next chapter. Any, you want to say something before we wrap it up?
It's okay.
Yeah, go for it. Go for it. Yeah, Shauna, go for it.
This has been the absolute best time of my life. I have met some of the most incredible people, and I am forever grateful. I think I'm still pretty numb with the shock of it, even though Friday, I think my gut was trying to tell me that I needed to take advantage because I think I knew after they postponed Arena, I think my gut was talking to me. There are not enough good things I can say about everybody that we work with, but what I am trying to cling to is that this experience has primed every single one of us to go get bigger and better jobs. And every single one of us came out with far more credits than what our titles called for.
Mm-hmm.
Volunteering every day of my life for the past, 11 months almost 12 has been a pleasure. I've loved every esports tournament that I worked on, every LCS show, every arena episode, and it's the most gratifying work that I've ever done too. Challenging, but gratifying. And I'm beyond grateful.
Yeah, you want to say something else, Jake? Or?
I was just going to say, I think if no one takes anything else from this, it's just know that, if I take anything from this, it's to know that I am and forever and always will be your X-Play champion, Joe. I just want you to remember that.
Oh, my God. You always have to say that.
Wow. I mean, it's true. That. Y'all, we paid for a $200 belt, came out of the show budget, and now you get to keep that beautiful thing.
Love it. No, I just want to say, everybody, thank you for listening. Thank you for the support. Everybody from the industry that have been hitting me up and everybody else.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for the support. It means a lot, not only to me, but for everybody else.
X-Play live on Twitch every Tuesday, 2 p.m.
Yeah. We're going to be posting pictures. Mm-hmm. I still have a lot of pictures I've never posted.
Same. I have a whole thread I mean to post.
I have videos I record on my phone.
We have Leffler falling into a cake.
Yes. So stay tuned for that, and thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you for the crowd in the back. Thank you. Yeah, X-Play forever. Yes, there you go.
All right,
until next time, we're out. Peace.
Bye.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, everyone, that's it. Thank you for listening to episode 1229. And once again, I just want to say thank you, everybody, for listening, supporting us. And we got big things coming up, big things. Just be on the lookout for that. And that's it. Until next time, everyone, I'm out. Thank you for listening. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.